I hope you're enjoying the South Australian takeover on Sky News tonight. Got me from SA, Andrew Bolt up next, formerly from SA, and Chris Kenny too, and then I'll be back at 10. This is exactly how things should be. Now, after 5 years in power, yesterday Jacinda Ardern gave a teary but triumphant valedictory speech to the Beehive, New Zealand's parliament in Wellington. Well, it was vintage Ardern spruiking her achievements and the things she didn't get done, while definitely not shying away from the personal. Take a look at some of Ardern's farewell.
We didn't always get it right. I didn't always get it right. But we were always motivated by the right things. I am a crier and a hugger. It's instinctive to me. You can be anxious, sensitive, kind, and wear your heart on your sleeve. And not only can you be here, you can lead. Just like me.
Oh, I too am a crier after seeing that emotional display. Well, in joining me now is Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative, Oliver Hartwich. Oliver, welcome. It's hard to deny that Ardern leaves Parliament as probably the most globally recognised leader New Zealand has known. But back home, her legacy is a bit more complicated, isn't it? How would you say that New Zealanders are reacting now that she's left?
Well, when she left, there was this big global outcry. How could she leave? She was New Zealand's most popular leader ever. But if you look at her polling data in New Zealand, on the day she left, she had a negative net approval rating. So actually, her honeymoon had long been over. New Zealanders were getting sick of her because there was a gulf between what she promised, what she talked about, all the rhetoric, what she actually delivered. Just one example, she got elected in 2017 on the promise to fix the housing market, to build 100,000 new homes. By the time she left, she had delivered about 1,600. And that was typical because basically on all the other things she promised, ending child poverty, really getting New Zealand towards net zero in carbon emissions, she had failed. She hadn't actually delivered a single thing. And so New Zealand was going backwards. The public was noticing it. I think Jacinda Ardern was noticing it. And that was one of the factors actually contributing to her resignation.
And of course, she's found work quickly, you know, this newly created role as special envoy to the Christchurch Call on April 17, with a focus on pushing for greater protection online from terrorist and violent extremist content, quote unquote. She's also been appointed to the board of the Earthshot Prize, working alongside Prince William. Is this a new era of the global Jacinda, seeing as people seem to like her elsewhere, but not at home?
Well, I think it's a continuation, really, because the world has long been fascinated with Jacinda Ardern, and there were long speculations that after leaving Parliament, after leaving the Beehive, she would seek an international role, with speculations she would do what, of course, her predecessor, Helen Clark, had done, going to the UN, trying to head an international body. So maybe with these two roles that she has now accepted, these are the first two steps onto an international career. And I think it would suit her. And of course, her international reputation is fantastic because internationally, people don't actually know really what's happening on the ground in New Zealand.
Just 30 seconds here, Oliver. Chris Hipkins seems to be off to a bit of a rocky start. He doesn't know what a woman is. How's he going over there?
He had a fantastic start because he's a very good, very experienced political operator, but the last couple of weeks haven't been good for him. He lost one of his ministers. He had to deal with the terrible question, of course, to define a woman. He didn't do that so well. That trip has gone global, and we've had now more than 5.3 million people watch him stumble through that answer, more people actually than we have in New Zealand as a population.
Amazing. Oliver, thank you for joining me tonight.